Jeff. Welcome to our Wednesday night service, all of you that are online and all of you that are in the audience. There's a few of us here tonight, and we just want to welcome everybody. I just have a few announcements that I want to go over. Pastor Powell is not able to be here tonight. Lock the doors. Don't let anybody out. No. It's okay. You'll be able to bear it, I think. But next Saturday, this coming Saturday, from 4 to 5:30 is the No Tricks, Just Treats candy giveaway across from Roosevelt Elementary. And if you're interested in helping out, you can see me. I don't think Pastor Emmett here. He's not here tonight. Or Becky Fortin, if you're interested. And we just want to encourage you to come out. It's a wonderful time. If you want to just bear witness to it, you don't have to do anything or say anything. But it's an amazing time, and so we've advertised, and we're going to bless the kids and the parents in the neighborhood there, and hopefully have some opportunity to really shine the light of Christ into their lives, into the people. And I'm sure that some will shine light into our lives, too, as those that know Christ. Also, just to mention that our classes are, our second round of classes for the fall are starting up, going to take us right into winter. And that is two different classes, Prayer in the Church with Stacy Moore. That's going to be on Monday nights, and it's starting on the 15th of November, and it's going to run from 6 to 7 in the meeting room, in the old bookstore, right? The meeting room right across from the chapel, right, Stacy? Okay, so she'll be teaching that. We just had I mentioned this on Sunday, we had an elders meeting, we had a leadership meeting. Just leaders in the church, ministry leaders and so on, and the elders were there. And everybody just like reaffirmed that it's got to be prayer. That's got to be number one. We were looking for three top priorities and ministries that we want to focus on as we kind of take off again into ministry after, you know, through this COVID season. Now we're really getting focused. And so prayer was that focus. It was the number one. And it was just neat. I think everybody was blessed to hear that's our focus. We just had prayer, by the way. Stacy has prayer from, is it quarter past six to quarter seven, just a half an hour prayer every Wednesday night. And then, Stacy, just yell out. You can take your mask off for a second if you want. Just blow straight ahead. Tell us the other prayer time so I don't mess them up. Fellowship. Okay. Time on that? 10 to 11, just for the audience that's listening. 10 to 11, first Saturday of the month, we have corporate prayer. It's for 1 hour from 10 to 11 I'm still calling it the gift stop, right? Gift shop, right across from the fellowship hall. Okay. Okay, 9 o'clock every Sunday. Please come. We just want to invite you. And if you're online, just join in prayer. You can text Stacy. It's always edifying to hear, or Mercy, or whomever, and just say, we're praying with you, you that are online. There you are over there. That I think that would be really sweet, too. Maybe they already do that, but feel led to do that. Okay? Today, we want to just have a prayer, speaking of prayer. Okay, wait, before I go there. So prayer in the church, Stacy's going to be teaching that on Mondays from 6 to 7. And then Pastor Powell will be teaching You and Your Salvation on Tuesday nights starting November 16th from 6 to 7, also in the same room. It's just nice and cozy in there. So if it gets too big, we'll probably have to move somewhere else. Okay, so just keep those things in mind. You want to continually being, I've been serving God. I've been being educated for a long time now, and I'm just not going to stop. I don't get to all the classes, but I try to get to as many as I can, and just to continue to get the Word of God instilled in our lives. And if you haven't been to many, please, I just encourage you to go. Okay, and then we just want to lift up a few people and a few things in prayer. One is Amber. I don't know if we sent it out on the prayer chain today. Amber is... the young lady up at Tacoma General whose mom and dad Linda and Lewis have joined us a number of times. Honestly, the church has just been holding them up, and I'm just thankful that we have connected and that we can support them and they can keep us informed and the prayer chain and so on. But we really want to pray for Amber, because the medical indicators, I you know, ebb and flow and mix with staff, and I hear, and the medical indicators are just not, they're grim as far as her long-term survival. And she is very, very sick. She's cognitive, and she is really struggling. And we just need we need a miracle for Amber. I mean, for Amber, not just physically, but spiritually, for Christ to be magnified in her life. That's kind of my prayer, is just for that reason. And we need a miracle, and nothing would bring greater glory to God than see that happen. And for me, the chaplain, to be yapping around to the staff who all said, ain't gonna happen. That happens, and it happens when the corporate body gets behind these things. So please keep Amber in prayer through the day today, tomorrow, and let's pray for some real reversals where God can really be glorified, okay? So we wanna pray for that. We wanna pray for Kathy. I just saw Kathy limping along back there. And what was the prayer? I saw two prayers. Brenda sent a prayer too. Mary Zelay's son, who we don't know what's going on, right? Mary's, okay. And there's a whole bunch of things, so we lift those things up too. God, we lift up Mary Zelay's son. What's his name? Andy. And we just hold him up to you tonight. Just a scary time. And we pray that you would bring life into that situation. Your spirit would move in just powerful ways. We, the body here in Tacoma, lift him up to you, God, and ask that you would just move deeply in his life. And then we pray for healing for him, God, whatever's going on, for ultimate healing, and that your glory would just be manifest in that situation. Bless Mom Mary, God, special. We uphold her and the mother's heart, and we just hold her up also. And then we just want to lift up Amber tonight, that you would bring healing and reversal, God. And we're going to just plead with you that you'd do it quickly, Lord, that you would make meaningful progress that would just blow the medical world away and bring healing to that young lady, Amber, and move in her heart during this whole time, God. Do your work, that your spirit would minister your love and grace and compassion and draw her with loving kindness and tender mercies, even in the midst of her suffering. Just, Lord, we lift up Amber to you. Just get her kidneys, her liver going again. Lord, just heal and reverse. She has evidently underlying cancer. There's a lot there. So just move and heal and be glorified. Bless Lewis and Linda, really special tonight, Lord, two parents that are just reaching out to you and being there for their daughter. Just bless them, special too. I also just want to lift up a father up in the ICU. His son's in the ICU, a 19-year-old. Just, Lord, we just pray that you would do a deep work there and move. Bless a couple of saints right now that are preparing to transition into heaven that I met today, that are ready to go into heaven. And I just pray that you'll bless and make that transition very smooth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Bless the message. Bless Pastor wherever he is, and just give him rest and whatever he needs. And same with Sue. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so let's see. It's 7:15. We will be done at 9:15. Please lock the doors again. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to go that long. But I want to speak about this portion. I shared this a little bit in the dorms the other day, because I've just been real impressed with this particular portion of 2 Corinthians. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to go from there. And there's a lot going on in 2 Corinthians. with, and there's a lot of personal things with Paul, where he is working on validating his ministry in chapter 11, I'm sorry. He is vindicating his ministry, actually, where he's making proof of his ministry to these people that were following him all around, these Judaizers that were following him around on his during his missionary journeys. Everywhere he went, they doggedly were going after him and coming in. And we can read now and see that it was pretty obvious, but it was also very subtle that these people would come in and they would just try to promote agitation and troubles and doubt over Paul's ministry as an apostle. And by the way, Satan has not changed his strategies one bit. He's doing it subtly in the church. He does it with the apostle. He does it with evangelists. He does it with pastors and teachers, where he just subtly comes in and casts doubt. You know, I'm not afraid to say, I know we have a human pastor, right? God uses the foolishness of preaching, but just subtly comes in doubt on the person that's bearing the message. Just subtle things, and it's kind of like, I don't know about you, but I'm very careful with these things, and I'm getting off target already. I just want to be careful because I want to have God's message. God has used, he uses the foolishness of preaching. He uses the angelos, pastor, the messenger of the church. I'm just going to be very careful because I just know that he's always trying to come in, slander the messenger, right? Doesn't mean I just bow down to everything. It just means that I'm discerning and I understand human nature. You know, I understand humanness. My wife does too. She knows me really well. I understand these things, but I also understand the practical piece of God using humans to magnify himself. Isn't it a strange thing tonight that he uses us in such a way? And there's just different levels of the battle. But I was driving down the hill tonight and I was just like, you want to use us? You want to use me? You want to keep using me? and that was my question. And you know what the overwhelming answer from the Spirit of God was? Yes. Because I'm sufficient? No. Because this is how God operates in the body of Christ, as he wants to magnify himself through us. And that's what this is about tonight. Satan is always trying to snuff that out. He's trying to snuff it out. He's trying to get us to discredit each other in the body of Christ. Why? So that Christ would be closed off, that a veil would be put over saints so that people could not see the glory of God. And we need to just be very alert and aware to that. So that's what was going on right here, you know, throughout this chapter, as Paul was continually having to validate his ministry and kind of go to battle. You'll see that, really read that in chapter 11. But so in verse 1 of chapter 3, I'm going to do some scripture reading tonight just so that we can get the context. Paul says to his own people there in Corinth, he's writing this from out of town, Macedonia. He is writing this letter, and he has already been here, obviously, but he's writing it to the faithful. And what was going on here in Corinth is there was a few believers that were really being impacted from these people. Not a lot, just a few. And so Paul's writing this letter. And these, again, they came in subtly. And some of them were like Jesus people. Others were they were Judaizers that were totally Jewish. But they would always be kind of like skeptical of anybody preaching any message. That's a good thing, and it can be a bad thing. So here we go. So do we begin, Paul says, to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? We'll just stop right there. That's basically just Paul was asking the question to his own. He's saying, do we need to validate ourselves with a reference letter from Jerusalem or from you or from this person? Do we have to like have something written out that we are of God? Is that what's going to validate my ministry your lives. He goes on to say, you are our epistles. You are the reference letters. You are the commendation letters. You are the believers, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the new. You, by the way, are an able minister. I just gotta hold on here before I'm gonna read some more. Don't interrupt yourself, Jim. It says that I just did it and I lost my spot. Not that we're sufficient. Who hath made us, in verse 6, able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of the countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration or the ministry of the Spirit be rather glorious? For it is the ministration, that is the law, is the ministration of condemnation. I'm sorry. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, how much more does the ministration or the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. And that is the glory of righteousness that we have, Jesus Christ in us. For if that which is done away was glorious, the law that Moses beheld written on tablets, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, this is contrasting, by the way, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the law and Jesus Christ, our righteousness. It's contrast. But in their minds, in verse 14, they were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even so, unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So they still have this major problem with the law, the Old Testament. They have not received. And he says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. And we're going to keep reading a little bit more because it's so important that we see this. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, by the way, as these Judaizers were and different people, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And then he says that, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then he goes on to this little section here. It's a major section. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, these earthen vessels, right? For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perished, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For if our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we have, God bless this portion, this brief portion, just make it practical and relevant to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's this amazing portion that really goes together. There's no scripture, there's no numeric breakdowns or anything. This is kind of like one big major thought here, chapter 3, right into chapter 4. But Paul was, so you see how it kind of comes together. Paul was telling the congregation in Corinth that you are a letter. You are an epistle of commendation. You, like, you know, are this, what do you call it? I need a reference letter to get a job. I need, what is another name for it? Reference letter, or there's another word, I can't find it right now. Recommendation, right? I need a recommendation. Would you give me a recommendation? Okay, you know, now it used to be that those were very important. Now it's not so sure, you know, we're not so sure, but it's like, here it is. This is a recommendation letter saying that this person is valid and you should hire them. They're good. They're awesome. So there was this question of validation, and Paul boldly tells his people, listen, we don't need letters. I don't need somebody to write me a letter saying, please accept Paul, he's a good guy. We are those letters. And they're not just letters written with ink. And then Paul does this little twist and goes into the Old Testament scriptures and says that we're not, he beautifully kind of brings this out, is that like we don't have the letter of the law written in our hearts because we're children of faith. And that we have believed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The law, and this is a lot about the law in our new ministry, and Paul is like bringing out this contrast. The difference between the Corinthian believers and his old faith, the Jews in this case, where there was a ministry of the law, the letter, you must do, you must accomplish, you must live up to this, you must, and then there was the ministry of the Spirit, which was faith. And I know this is, I don't think we can hear this enough, but that's the ministry we have, the faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is my righteousness. It's not about me and what I can accomplish or what I can live up to according to the letter. It's about his accomplishments on Calvary, and we have this ministry. And so there's this big contrast going on, and Paul is just saying, don't you know? that you are these written epistles, but written not in tables of stone, but it's written on the heart, and it comes through in this genuine authority of having Christ's righteousness in you. And the more we are in his presence and the more we gaze on Jesus Christ, the more it shines. And the glory of God comes out of us and radiates from us. I'm going to say, I just want to say this. Everyone, I can look at you. I don't know some of you, but I know most of you. And you radiate Jesus Christ. You have radiated Christ to me. And you shine. And when you just get with that one person one day, and you maybe it's at the gas pump, and whatever it is, there's an exchange of words. There's a glory that comes from you. I'm just saying, it's the word of God. It's special. Have you ever had that person in your life, by the way, where you just know you've met something very special, the glory of God, like God is working through that person. That person, I want to have what they have, right? I had it happen with, like, you hear me tell it all over and over again, because I'll never forget that the time that pastor came in, and then I was just like, I want that life. Eventually, it took me a little while. I recognized it, and then I'm like, I got to have that. And then all of us have had those people in our lives. And that's the body, and that's who we are. And you know what? The qualification to be this pot of clay that carries Jesus, that has this treasure in it, it's just belief that he is and that I am, to be used by him on this earth. And we get so caught up with our capabilities, our education. We get caught up with our sin. That's, by the way, that's where the ministration of the law, the ministry of the law, is like creeping in there. And it hinders, and it literally, again, kind of puts a veil over what God wants to be manifesting himself as. Righteous, holy. And so you're that person. And the older we get in Jesus Christ, I know we've all had times like, you know, whatever, I got nothing to lose, right? You don't. And Paul, we don't. Because we start to realize who Jesus is and what's at stake. And we want to be that light. So we have this treasure in verse 7 in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God becomes our sufficiency. Pastor Powell mentioned Philippians 2:13 last Sunday about, you know, he gives us the will, but he also gives us the to-do. Like, he gives us the ability to shine, and his love and mercy to emanate through us. As I receive the mercy of God and receive his grace, I become a vessel unto righteousness that shines into other people's lives. You are that person. It's just the question is, will you, by faith, say amen? Because that's who you are. And Satan, the enemy, is always coming across, just subtly trying to invalidate you and just snub you out. That's who, what we're talking about tonight. Paul was saying, that's who you are. You're a letter. We don't need anything else. Proof. Validation. It's you have Christ in you. Okay. So I just want to highlight, like, this righteousness, what it's all about. You are a letter not written with ink, but a letter written with the Spirit of God. Like, the message that you're going to give to other people is from the Spirit. And again, will you believe that? I'm just saying accept that. That's when I say believe. I'm not saying I'm going to believe it. I'm just going to accept that. That's faith. God is so pleased when we believe like that. I got up this morning. It doesn't matter whether you're at the hospital, whether you're at work. It's like, God, let me be that light today. I believe I can be that light. I believe that you can use my eyes, my words, my hands, my attitude in people's lives, and you can shine through me. Just enter the day with that prayer. It's like, I believe, so use me today, God. Use me. Let my life shine. and just let me minister to people the way that you would. I want to be a reflection of who you are. And so, by the way, that's the practical part of just spending time like we are tonight, and you're online, just spending time around the Word of God at the feet of Jesus, beholding his glory. And then I become this radiant, you know, I know I'm on, again, Brenda, I stand before my wife. She keeps me really honest. I am not always living this life, but it's like the more I understand it and agree and accept it, the more I do it at home, the more I do it around other people, the more, and I start to gain a confidence when we understand this doctrine, this teaching right here, a treasure in earthen vessel. I start to become confident. Again, it's not my own sufficiency, it's Jesus Christ, the righteous one, indwelling in me. It becomes this amazing thing. Doesn't it kind of just get you excited, the potential? You've seen it, you've done it, but to have it on a regular daily basis, that's what he wants to do. Maybe it's a phone call. You know, it could just be a phone call to somebody and say, I'm praying for you, and I love you, and I'm supporting you, or a card that you write. You know, I've gotten letters from Cheryl and Mary also, and different people in the church building us up and edifying. That's Christ shining through our lives. It's not that complicated when we give ourselves to it, all right? And we all do it a little differently, right? And you don't have to compare yourself with the person sitting next to you and say, I wish I could do it. I don't do it like he does. It's like, no, you do it like God, like God has you do it. And that's what's important. So I am that's who I am. I'm not a lawgiver anymore. I'm not, by the way, if you were brought up in religion, please repent from that stuff, from the letter of the law. You know, I don't go around holding up some standard, like kind of in a relative way, like if I've gotten this good at this, so this is how I judge you. You need to, and all of a sudden everything's kind of geared around maybe the little accomplishments I've made that I think are so grand. I'm a minister of righteousness. I understand that God drew me with loving kindness and tender mercies, not insisting upon the letter of the law, and he just drew me that way. And so freely you have received, freely give it the same way. And so I'm going to be deliberate. I want to let God deal with the heavies. If he wants, Holy Spirit can convict you of sin, right? We have church discipline, and there's some heavies that we have to deal with from time to time. But when I'm dealing just in general with the public, with people in the body, I'm just like, just let me give mercy today. Let me give the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let God do that, the heavy, heavy stuff. Convict of sin and all that kind of stuff, okay? And so, let's see. We're not servants of the old covenant. Law. You all got your own law. I know, is there anybody Jewish here? It's okay, by the way. I'm happy to meet you. You're privileged people, right? In the sense of God's chosen. Is there anybody here? So nobody's here is Jewish. Is there anybody here that had a pretty good system growing up in your life of discipline? Pretty good system? I did. My mother, I came from a kind of an Anglican family. Set the table this way. This fork goes on the left. This goes on the right. And it's kind of like wonderful, but not righteousness, right? It's like I don't judge people by how they set the table anymore. I've been delivered from the... my point is, we all have laws in our life. You know, even there's honor among thieves. They have rules and laws that they follow. It's that sort of thing that we've been set free from. And we're not those kind of servants anymore. We're servants of the new covenant. We are servants of the new covenant. We're not the letter which kills, always kills, by the way, but of the Spirit, which always brings life. We don't have this ministry of death. We have, I'm emphasizing, the ministry of the Spirit. We are not letters engraved on stones like the law. We're letters written on fleshly tables of the heart. We do not have a ministry. This is all here in the early part of chapter 3. We don't have a ministry of condemnation. Thank God, right? Wow, I don't have to do that anymore. We don't have a ministry of condemnation, but we have a ministry of righteousness, Jesus Christ. And, you know, I started to kind of get into, I haven't had as much time as I want to study out these passages, but in Exodus chapter 34, 29 through 30, you've got this picture of Moses receiving the law, which was holy. The law is holy, by the way. The law, the Old Testament, the law demonstrates the holiness of God. It's just a shadow of God's holiness. But it also is what's been given to drive us to faith, to show us, to demonstrate what sinners we really are. That's the use of the law. That's a very important part. It drives us to faith to say, I can't do it with my own initiative. I can't do it in my own drive. I can't. And so I surrender, God. You got to do it. You've got to give me the will, Philippians 2:13 again, and you've got to give me the to-do of your good pleasure, because I can't do it. You want me to be a light? Yes. I want you to be a light. And this is the way to be a light, is to make the delineation between our old system and the new system that Christ has endeared us with, that he has given to us in our lives. See, it's a very different, there's no other religion like this. Religion in the sense of human beings being involved with, you know, some system. This is Christianity, a distinct, unparalleled reality directly from heaven. And it's not of works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. That's that clay jar. You all have those clay jars. You are insufficient by yourself, independent from God. But in Christ, that jar, that's, man, are we headed for death? The reason I say that, because I can't help it. I'm faced with it every day, and it really is true. I was with two older saints this week, men, just love God. And this last one, I was just with him about an hour ago. He's probably going to be in heaven by the time I get there tomorrow. And he was just like, we just talked. We said, I came into the room, very short encounter. His family wanted me to come up, and they said, the wife said, we're believers in Jesus. I said, I'm a Christ follower too. And she said, what can we pray? That he can go into heaven tonight, shortly, and not suffer. And I just like, oh, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for, that you get to meet. And his kids were all gathered around. I don't know. I don't know if they were believers or not. I gather they were. But I said, this is what we've been waiting for. I know it's going to be hard, because your role, I can't remember his name right now, and he wouldn't mind if I shared it. I know, but it's an older name. Or an older person that I use all the time. We just said, you know, I know the separation's going to be hard, but we're going to catch up soon, you know. And everybody's like, uh-huh. And I said, but this is what we've been waiting for. The precious blood of Calvary is going to lift you. The nanosecond you're done with that body, you're going to be in heaven. And you know what he did? He looked at me, and his eyes kind of sparkled, and he just did a thumbs up and with his broad smile, because he couldn't. He was dying. His body is shutting down, and he just was like, kind of like that pilot's getting ready to take off. You know, I'm going. Thumbs up. And it was like, here we go. And you know, he ministered to me, and he was to me a jar of clay emanating Jesus Christ to me. And, you know, I hope I was the same to somebody in that room, but there was this beautiful glory that was profound. And the Word of God says here tonight in chapter 3 that this glory is greater than the glory of the law, of the glory that Jesus Christ, that Moses had when he received the law and had to put a veil over his face, because the people freaked out when they saw this glory that was real and precious. And But God says, I've got a greater glory now. It's in you. It's in you. It's the glory of Jesus Christ in these clay pots. And I want to shine through you, God says, tonight to us, because you are my epistle. Nobody needs to, you know, you don't need to bring around, you don't have to validate yourself. You don't have to prove yourself. You are that person that can represent Jesus Christ and shine his glory forth. And what a place to be. That's why we exist. That's why we are here on this earth. It's not to better ourselves, right? Let me just get this Jarrah clay looking pretty shiny on the outside, you know, and let me, no. It's, God will do that, by the way, when we're consumed with others. He'll take care of all that crap. And we will be changed as we behold his glory and reveal it. It's kind of like it's a process. It's not just one thing. I'm beholding it. I'm giving it out. So put yourselves in me. I'm talking to me too. Put yourselves in the place where we can get it, write it, speak it, share it with our eyes, our arms, whatever. I don't know what. I don't know. God's going to do it with you. And you don't have to strive. Just be available and watch God work. So I'm going to wrap it up here. But so we have this glory, and it doesn't fade away like Moses did. Moses put the hood on. Oh, not too bad now. Okay, get rid of the veil. The glory faded. It doesn't fade with us. If we realize what we have, it's going to shine. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be beautiful. Very much, very great parallel. The Word of God parallels that glory with the new glory that we've received in Jesus Christ, our righteousness. So, turn to the Lord. And when we turn to Jesus Christ, there it is, liberty. I can start to be relaxed because I'm not under the letter of the law. I can start to be confident in who he's made me to be because I'm not performing by some letter and just where that just manifests how inadequate I am. This is our freedom. This is our liberty. Okay, I'm going to close with this. I really am. It's a song that my daughter sings, Carolyn. And I really love this song. I think you guys would agree. It's the Isaiah 6, Here I Am, Send Me. I love that song. I love that song. I just thought about that as I was kind of closing the books here and you know, when I was studying, and it says, it reads like this, there are hearts, I'm not going to read the whole song, but there are hearts that have yet to see the power of Christ that has set them free. For such a love, you have sent your Son to save what's lost. So who will go? Now your eyes run to and fro to find the ones who will rise and go to any distance, far or wide, to take your heart. With burning hearts, we will take this task. I just think of burning hearts, meaning that treasure that's within. It burns, it shines, it motivates me, it gives life to others. With burning hearts, we will take this task and give our lives for what you asked. The call's gone out, and we must respond to your voice. And then it goes on, that chorus, oh God, here am I, send me. Use me for your glory. Oh God, here am I, send me. And I love this part. Pick me up and write your story. That we are these epistles. We are God's living epistles. He wants to write his story with you. He wants to pick you up and write his story. I'm just like, okay, pick me up. Here I am. Send me. Pick me up. Okay, I agree. Right? Stop fighting and arguing. And let him pick you up and write his story. And he will go till the whole world knows that Jesus is alive. And we will run burning with your love with fire in our eyes. So, God, we just love you. We thank you that you have chosen us. What a mystery, God, to us, that you would use us in such a way to proclaim your glory as believers, you chose to use us in such a way. We are baffled, we are humbled, we are honored, and we receive this, God. We receive it because of your power and your grace, and that's what you want to do. So we yield to this, and we want to manifest as individuals of the body of Christ in these jars, these earthen vessels with such precious treasure. We want to walk with you and acknowledge that, and we just thank you that you've chosen us. Thank you. And so bless each one here, Lord, those that are listening. Let this be our lives. Let it be our lives. And we ask these things. Bless everybody as they leave tonight, the fellowship afterwards, and just be with each one. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And I think if you want to give, by the way, I think is there a basket on Wednesday nights? Yep, there's a basket out there, and you can give online. God's been so faithful with our gift.